Hello and welcome to the Bus Factor.
Hello.
We've got someone else in the office today. Someone else in the studio. No one knows where we do this from. Could be anywhere. We've got someone else in the studio today. Do we use your real name on here?
Yeah, well, Dave Carrot. I think we use both interchangeably.
That sounds about right. We do tend to use both, I think. So, Hugh is away skiving off. He's up relaxing, watching dolphins or something. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, I was watching dolphins. You see us photos pretending to do work, watching dolphins.
Yeah, we've actually got someone in the office who absolutely hates dolphins as well and considers them pests. So, it was...
those photos did not go down particularly well.
Okay, well, looking at the... Wait, before we start, I came in on a bus today.
What the fuck?
So I'm catching buses again, which I know it's... I feel like I'm more legitimate now, like I'm allowed to do this. But as part of that, the traffic was really bad, and they were, like, talking on the radios a lot, and all I could think was, like, man, we need to get access to those radios. How good would that be? I mean, relative to not having them. So we need to do that. But also, he didn't go through any red lights. So how many red lights do you think we're going to have today?
I haven't paid much attention in recent weeks. How about I say 5 3/4?
5 3/4. Oh, yeah, because he's not here. We're out of fractions. 5 3/4. Okay, here's number 3 coming up. He's good. 5 3/4. Okay. Now, Hugh tends to go a lot higher than me, and he tends to win. So I'm going to go higher and say 9. But to be honest, Hugh picks up most of the buses who go through red lights, so maybe with Hugh not here, it'll be like self-fulfilling something like that.
Yeah, because I can't really see the traffic lights. I need to kind of sit at a really odd angle.
I just use this here because otherwise...
You look at the screen.
I look at the screen, otherwise I'm just like, no way of seeing it. It also seems less busy. Like right here, just looking down, it seems this busy, right?
Well, that's because EZ Bus seems to cancel about every second bus at the moment.
Oh, that's a good segue. We do have more bus news today, so why don't we start with it? It's the second one there, right?
Yeah, it's the second one. We should start with that. EZ Bus, who was the previous incumbent. And
They ran all of the network, or almost all the network.
Yeah, before the big change, the bus apocalypse back in July.
Yep.
And now they're the smallest player.
But yeah, that's right, because they're owned by Infratel, who owns Snapper, and this was kind of like part of that deal, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm not entirely sure. Okay. And basically what's happened is they supposedly have the best driver conditions and best all that sort of stuff.
Is that sarcasm or serious?
Well, that's sort of what came out at the time.
Do you reckon that guy's
actually,
over the line?
That bus, I think their bus was over the line.
I think he was, yeah. Do you want to count him as a half?
Yeah, let's count him as a half.
Okay.
So what's happened is they don't have enough drivers and they are cancelling like dozens of buses each peak period because they just can't actually service them.
It's ridiculous how many. Because I tended to think, maybe they cancel like 2 or 3. And to be honest, even cancelling 2 or 3 buses during a big period is a lot, because if you can think each bus takes, 30 to 60 people?
Yeah, and particularly we've had examples where buses are having to go past because they're full, and if you basically take a bus out and the bus is already pretty much full, they're going to have to skip people and leave people there because there's not actually enough room.
Exactly, yeah. Like, you can't just be like, 500 people didn't make it to the city this morning. I mean, clearly you can do that, but also it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then finally Metlink's actually come out and said they have fined them for running late, for not providing services they're contracted to do.
Buses and, not big enough.
And also running buses that are too small for what was actually required in the timetable and their contract.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do have a range of different bus sizes, and depending on the route and the time, they could have a different bus size, but they're running smaller buses than they should be running.
Yeah, like you need to have double-deckers some of the time or it's not going to work. Because the new system works based on, like, during peak times, there are more double-deckers. Whiplord PFA
works
said,
in air quotes, right?
Yeah. What's going on with the strike? We could just hang people off the sides and roof. I'd roof surf a bus. You know what? Actually, no, I wouldn't. Not in Wellington. There are some places I would. Like Hamilton, I'd be okay with it because it's not very hilly and there's not wind. what are you going to do going down Brooklyn Hill roof surfing? Because the bus also slams on its brakes constantly because it's like, oh, I'm going to crash into a car and kill everyone. Slam on the brakes. What strike are you talking about, Pepe? Are you aware of a strike, Dave?
I'm not aware of any strike.
Tell us about the strike, Pepe. I haven't heard of one, and my bus was okay today, so I don't...
And also bus surfing, just like outside our window, there's also like trees overhanging the roads and they've sort of just trimmed them to fit the double deckers in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Was it when they first were going down, they were just destroying trees because they're too big. I saw there were buses blocking a highway like they made a barricade. In Wellington? I haven't heard of this. Someone post a link or something. Someone opened this stuff. Was that on our list of bus stories? Did you see that?
I don't remember seeing anything about that. Is that like recent or?
Yeah, give us the deets because this
a
might
city
be...
even would be helpful.
Yeah, knowing if it is yeah, I don't see anything on stuff.co.nz, and they do say that if it's not on Stuff, it's not much, or something like that. Store owner assaults 10-year-old. Jesus.
Yeah, the other thing actually with this whole NZ bus like not actually being able to provide buses in New Zealand
or Wellington
in particular,
because they're still a big player in the rest of the cities, right?
Yeah, I think Infratel, yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because they're really
NZ bus has to go Wellington, yes. NZ bus does have a big presence in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, too many like parent and grandparent and children and sibling.
Yeah, more
companies.
Ways to fucking get money out of people, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other thing, I believe it's a national MP of all this that I think who's called for this has said that the regional council should publicise the buses and make them public again.
Yeah, I tend to. So I don't know much. Well, okay, I guess. I tend to be in favor of that. Conceptually, buses are a public service. They need to be ran not like a business.
Well, I mean, these contracts are giving them a monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you can't, once you've got the initial bid over, it's sort of only semi, you're basically competing to get a monopoly for a fixed period of time.
Yeah.
And also the fact is, you can't have competitors actually running the same
buses. There's a bus going through a red light.
Yep, it's a bus go through the red light.
Okay.
And, well, we're also thinking. Also, I don't understand how supposedly running something like a corporate entity is going to make it more efficient. But the fact is this corporate entity that's running it has to give profits back to their shareholders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So surely some little inefficiencies of the council running it as a business would most probably be less than the profits they have to give to their shareholders.
Yeah, you'd think so. There's also kind of like the council can pretty much say like, oh, we're going to make less money on, we're going to lose money on bus trips. But because we've got affordable buses for everyone, we're now spending less on social services. People get sick less often. People need to take less sick days. Our businesses are more productive. A corporation who only runs buses can't do that. They, because they, you know, if like people take their sick days, they don't give a shit. They only care about the money that their business makes. By law, they can't just be like, shareholders, no profits this time. We're giving it to other people, you know?
Yeah, the green bottom line or the moral or ethical bottom line, you know, shareholders, unfortunately, on the whole, don't like that. So,
yeah.
They like the whole, the cold hard cash bottom line.
Exactly. And I, you know, like, sure, that works for some things. I just am not sure that works for buses. So I tend to be in favor of making it public.
Yeah, I'm particularly when it is a monopoly, when it has to really, you can't really have, for suburban buses, you can't really have two different bus companies trying to run the same route.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You have to have a coordinated timetable. It's got to be more planned than that because it all happens at peak times. Yeah, so in that case, I believe, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I tend to agree. So we just I just looked up the bus blocking picture. It looks like this was blocked off as part of the Christchurch Memorial today. This was at Hagley Park. Yeah, it was held today.
Oh, so they just use it as a, instead of getting some road cones out, they put some buses on the road.
Yes, bigger than road cones, right? And potentially there could be also security concerns where it's a little bit tougher to go through buses. So, yeah.
Yeah, true, true. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, who would have thought that a country was a social enterprise and not a giant business? Because people tend to forget that, don't they? So, the other thing, so we did have some comments from Hugh about this, because he's not here, but he had comments. Of course, he had comments.
Yeah, he has many opinions on the bus system.
Yeah, let me just pull it up because he did have some specific comments around it. So people are basically saying like, oh, you know, NZ Bus needs to stop because they've failed. They have failed this contract. We need to get rid of them. But there's kind of like, what are you replacing them with? So he says they're in breach of the contract. Oh, so they are at this point in breach of the contract. So I think Hugh's read the contract, from memory.
Well, they've been fined.
Yeah, they have been fined, but
I believe indicates they're failing the contract. Well, it's a penalty clause in the contract.
So it's from the reading of what Hugh said, there's penalty clauses if you fuck up. Even once, if you fuck up, there are penalties for it. But there's also a clause about reliability. If you fall under this reliability threshold, the option to terminate the contract becomes available, right? Missing one bus, don't have the option, but you can penalize. This is, it looks like a different clause.
Oh, so they're grossly negligent even.
Yeah.
One of your favorite terms.
Yeah. So, there was more than 5% failed buses over 3 months. And when they say failed, like reliability is defined in the contract. And yeah, so this puts them into the kind of threshold for being able to completely cancel that contract. Who do you replace them with? Let's say we got rid of them. What do you do?
Yeah, unless there is a method for them to forcibly take over the buses and the bus drivers.
Yeah.
Or force either as the council or forcibly give the buses and the drivers to another company. I don't think any company could ramp up by Monday to take it. You know, if you cancel NZ Bus on a Sunday, I don't think there's any company who could take over on the Monday.
No, and even then, the other bus operators, they're not doing stellar. They're doing better, but...
They're doing better, but when it's comparative, better is... Yeah,
exactly, so it's just like...
And from what I understand is they have just enough buses, just enough drivers, just to make the whole thing hang together.
Yeah. And no one's enjoying it. It's not like, oh, this is great working with this company. They're like, wow, it's better than it was a few months ago. So, of course, they would have the option of one route by route being like, we're going to buy a few buses and then, or, you know, buy them from NZ Bus and then make them a public service and so they do that. That might be a way they could do it. Just route by route. Because you wouldn't have to take over. You could say, like, NZ Bus, you're failing this route too often. We're taking that one over. Or whatever. Whatever else you want to do.
Yeah.
I feel like there are options. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm also not sure how you cancel the contract, whether you can cancel it, nicely, it, sort of grace step by step, or whether you have to go cold turkey.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you have to do it all at once, that almost seems worse for both NZ Bus and Wellington.
Well, NZ Bus is screwed either way. It definitely is worse for Wellington if you have to basically cancel the contract cold turkey.
Yeah. With Lord Pepe, with Lord Pepe's mother is a bus driver, and she said, yeah, they're struggling. And she helped organize a strike in Dunedin. They're only just starting to get into a union. Yeah, I mean, unions help in this situation, don't they?
Yes.
When everyone could just say the conditions are bad.
There's conditions bad, and there's definitely, you know, there's only if it's, you can't compete by going to a different company, really. Because there's only so many drivers in Wellington, and it's defined by the council how many routes everyone has. So
yeah,
you can't really just get a better job.
Yeah, yeah.
So in that case, yeah.
Well, you can by not being a bus driver, right?
Yeah.
Which is what happens.
But as a society, we need bus drivers. So yes, we do have to make sure the bus drivers are actually looked after there's passenger safety and there's also pedestrian and other road user safety as well. You know, you want a driver who's actually happy, well-rested.
Yeah, hasn't been working for 12 hours without a break, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, actually provided safe service. Mm.
Yeah, because I think, you know, like, I think people who listen to the the podcast. Maybe not people who listen to the podcast. People who see Hugh comment online, which he does a lot. Holy shit, he was commenting on Twitter a lot recently. I think they tend to think, like, we hate bus drivers. We brought this up on the show before. No bus driver that I know of. No, actually, you take it back. School bus drivers occasionally can be real cunts. But for the most part, bus drivers aren't bad people. They're having a shitty time, you know? They're not going to intentionally try and run down some pedestrian.
Yeah, it's the system that makes that. You know, we could use this as a segue to a horrible, horrible bus driver in Christchurch.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is one of those stories where I'm like, surely there's more to it. And then you read down a paragraph and they're like, and we followed it up and now it's exactly how it seems. And you're like, what? What happened on this one, Dave?
Well, this is down in Christchurch. This was after the whole 15 March stuff.
Yeah, so we didn't talk about it. I don't think we didn't talk about it much. But this was after the attacks in Christchurch. This happened, was it today, yesterday?
Yeah, very recently. They've had enough. So basically, the story happened recently. Yeah, so what happened was there was some, from what I could gather, some school-age girls wanted to get on the purple bus in Christchurch. The first one gets on all right.
What's the purple bus? Is that just
it's one of the routes. Yeah, okay. And they're all painted purple.
Gotcha.
And they say purple on the side.
Okay, yep.
And then the second girl gets to get on, and the bus driver just shuts the doors in front of her and drives off. And the bus was not full. There were seats available. There was standing room available. The problem was she was wearing
hijab.
Yeah, hijab, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so basically some other girls sat with her, waited for the next bus. They went into the hub to lay a complaint.
To be like, what the fuck? Like, yeah.
Yeah. The people initially seemed to be like, oh, yeah, you're just making up a story.
Mm-hmm.
They went and reviewed the video from the bus, and they agreed totally that the complaint was valid, and they upheld it, and the driver is now going through a disciplinary process because... Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like, just absolutely abhorrent.
It's real insane, right? And the other thing is, you do got to wonder, a lot of things, but one of them is like, has he done this before? Is this something that's happened before? And like, in the past, people have just been like, that doesn't sound realistic. Like, especially if he's only doing it to children as well, right?
Yeah, children most probably aren't going to stand up in quite the same way. And yeah, I was lucky that, you know, there were some other girls there actually giving the support as well. Because if you just had a bus driver shut the doors and drive off in front of you, you know, that's most probably...
And you'd also be like, shit, did I do something? Like, I know if that happened to me, I'd be like, did I do something wrong? Is this my fault? And like, I can't imagine, people talk about... they think about like microaggression and systemic racism and like the things that you don't really think of overtly as racist. I'm sure after dealing with that for however many years and then having shit like this happen, you just be like, well, fuck. Like, what's even the point?
Yeah.
Yeah, what a piece of shit. That's pretty much how I feel about it. But it is one of those stories where I was like, no, maybe the bus was full. Maybe his door malfunctioned. You try and come up with an excuse because I don't think anyone I know can imagine someone that vile. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know anyone who would do that, so it just is weird that, I don't know.
That was the story, unfortunately.
Mm. Yeah, so, I don't know. I punishment for this kind of thing, do you reckon it's enough to just be fired?
Well, I'm not sure as a company what you can do other than firing them, because I think that driver has not upheld the standards of the company. I'm pretty sure it's breach in the contract.
I was more wondering, is there a police opportunity here? I genuinely don't know what our laws are like, and I'm also wary of overreach, but you do got to wonder, this is racial discrimination, which, like, we have the Bill of Rights. Do we have a Bill of Rights here? We have some laws that basically say you can't discriminate based on race.
Yeah, we do have some law. I think it's a Bill of Rights or something very similar.
Yeah.
I'm not up with New Zealand's particular documents.
Me either. But
I know it roughly exists.
Yeah, exactly. And I do wonder what the penalties are for that kind of violation when it's like so blatant. You know, it's like you'd be hard to argue anything other than that was racially motivated.
Yeah, and you're providing a service for the local government. So it's not like you are a private business. That is still wrong in a private business. Yeah, but I mean, I feel that you should people providing a public service should be held to an even higher... well, everyone should be held to the high...
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think it's tough to argue personal rights in this case.
Yeah.
Right, you know, with a private business, you get a lot of people who are like, oh, well, you know, they have the right... No, well, in this case, you don't. Fuck him, he gets nothing. Yeah, if this was like a police officer, it would be different. That being said, like, police officers do commit racial discrimination constantly.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, yeah, well, it's just the police. They got to do their job. So if they got to, you know, beat up a few black people, well, fuck it. They're poor, so who cares? You know, like, so...
Yeah, they complain less and can't pay for lawyers to complain properly.
Exactly. So, yeah. Whereas in this case, it was like, you know, a child especially is like pretty egregious. Okay. Should we take some tech news this week?
Yeah.
We haven't got too many stories here. I started reading Silvio. Too many storios here. But there were some zingers this week. The number one on our list of amazing, funny stories is this Cisco curl issue. So this was a remote code execution bug in some, I believe it was routers?
Yeah, or I think the ASAs or something.
Yeah, something that Cisco provide. They have so many offerings. It's like, it's hard to keep track of them
all. And this one was not hard-coded creds.
To
their thing, it was not hard-coded creds, which I think is about the first recently for a high-profile Cisco bug.
Yeah, this was straight-up RCE, which you might be thinking, that's bad. But realistically, if you report RCE and they fix it, that's good. So they reported the RCE, and Cisco came back and said, we've fixed it. That proof of concept no longer works.
Yeah, proof of concept, their example code does not work anymore.
So people downloaded the update and checked. They have a check in Nginx for, is the user agent curl? If the user agent is curl, block it. It's an exploit. How ridiculous is that?
I don't understand who thought was an actual solution.
And then not only did they think it was a solution, it went through change control. You know Cisco has change control.
And this was a CVE, so it should be going through the security team. There'll be some awareness in the company about it. This wasn't just an internal bug in their bug tracker.
Yeah, exactly. This was like a proper RCE. Probably want to send that through to some validation somewhere.
Yeah, this went through responsible disclosure. Should have had the Cisco security team around it. Is that bus stopping in the intersection?
I think
no,
okay.
No, it's green.
Yeah. I feel like we probably missed some because by now we'd normally have a few more, but yeah.
Yeah, because I've not been looking at the screen.
Yeah.
And from where I stand, I can't actually see any traffic lights out the window.
Damn you, tree.
Well, it's more the pillar than the tree.
It doesn't help. But if the tree's not there, you can at least see a stopped bus and kind of, or like, I guess. We need a big indicator. Oh, yes,
one was bad. That light had slowed down and stopped.
Like stopped, the light went orange, and he was like, I can still make it. I mean,
that's actually worse. But, has he done the whole big Chris thing about how it's not really a red light?
It's actually
he entered on the orange.
It stopped.
Then sped up and entered the orange. So most probably that is technically all right.
Yeah.
Quite understand how, but...
I know, yeah. Sometimes the rules get stretched with some of these things.
Yeah.
That's just good things making the rounds on Twitter anyway. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... I just don't understand how...
Yeah, it does. I've seen... The one I did, the TerraQ bugs. I'm allowed to talk of them now. Perfectly legal. The TerraQ bugs I found, which was like some audio software encoder.
No, video as well.
Audio, video, display thing.
Yeah, it was basically so you could have, make HDMI over,
That's my boy, perfectly legal, Calvin Klein. That's his name. That's the counselor's name. I'm sticking to it.
Yes.
How did TerraQ patch it? So TerraQ had RCE in the login form, which they did fix somehow. Oh yeah, they stripped out one like a quote character, and there was no way around it. It was like just a dumb fix, but it worked.
I've got a similar job at the moment where they're escaping the left pointy bracket.
Oh yeah, the left, which it's enough to stop most cases of XSS.
Where the XSS could happen in this application,
yeah,
I need a left-pointy bracket.
Yeah, and there's no alternative to a left-pointy bracket. And you're like, I feel like you've implemented your own escaping and that's not a good idea. But also, yeah, it does work.
Oh, the funniest part is this part, that part of the form,
yeah,
has left-pointy bracket. Different field on the same web page,
mm-hmm,
escapes all the pointy brackets, escapes the quotes. Yeah.
Huh.
So it's not like a different part of the application. It's the same page. Yeah.
Fucking just taxi a different driver. Field. You see that? It's a taxi driver like blocking all those pedestrians. Fuck you, taxi driver. Yeah, that one's... I do know that one where like they're doing it right somewhere and doing it wrong somewhere else. And you're like, something's not right here. Something's not right. Different people wrote the code, something. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, I should go and fight that taxi driver.
Yeah.
Railway station. Special fares apply.
Oh, that's the 91.
It's the airport, right?
Yeah, that's the airport one, yeah.
We're just looking at the buses. I need to go to the airport tonight, and I thought I'll catch a bus, but my partner's flight doesn't get until midnight, and genuinely don't think buses go to Miramar at that time, do they?
No, I think there are no buses for that one, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm fine, like, walking from the Miramar bus stop. It's only, like, 5-10 minutes, maybe less.
The one that's sort of public transport uses Snapper is actually reasonably priced.
Yeah, the one that's not a piece of shit. Even when the airport flyer took Snapper, I still tended to take that bus because I was like, I don't want to pay an extra $10. I'll, like, walk.
I mean, it was, in some cases, almost cheaper just to get an Uber
than
the airport flyer.
As soon as, if you had like two people, it was like, well, fuck it, Uber then. Yeah. And I don't like that because Uber's a shitty, shitty company. Ugh, you know what really grinds my gears? We haven't got it. It's not a story. People, particularly Uber, who claim that Uber is public transport. Uber's not public transport. And Uber constantly says Uber is public transport.
It is part of the greater public transport ecosystem.
In the same way that footpaths are public transport.
Yeah. It's part of the non-private.
It is private.
Well, what I mean, it's not a personal car. It is a car available to the general public.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I mean, because I know the council will give people some discounts on taxis when they're due to age or disabilities or something like that.
Yeah.
Because it is part of...
Oh, there was a bus driver went through a red light.
Yeah, it is, providing people ways of actually getting around town.
Yeah, it does make sense. I still object to the classification of Uber as calling themselves public transport. I don't like it. I get what you're saying, but in the same way, I wouldn't call a taxi public transport. It's transport for the public, but it's not like capital P public transport.
Yeah, so it's not capital P. It's not a bus. It's not a train. It's not part of the actual transit network.
Yeah, I think that was. Oh, we don't have that. Oh, wait, go replay. Come on. Fuck out of here. Is it going to keep... Whether we want ads or not. That's disgusting.
When you want to... It's ads.
Okay. We need to see if we can turn that off or something. It's ad support switch. I'll go one more tech story because it's a good one. We can probably end up pretty early today if you want to. You say Asus, however you want to say it. How do you say it?
Oh, fuck, you've just said it now, so I don't know.
Said it both ways, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Asus, I think, is most probably how I say it.
What about MySQL? How do you say that one?
MySQL.
Not my squeal? My squeal?
My squeal? No, my squeal? I don't, maybe if the logo was a pig.
Oh, yeah,
squealing.
That'd be good, yeah.
Yeah, but like cross snort, maybe if snort had MySQL behind it.
Yeah.
My squeal could really, like...
Yeah, that
would
work. Yeah.
Thing there.
I'm trying to say my squeal from now on because it sounds funny. My squeal. Anyway, Asus, people have probably heard of it.
Squeal server as well.
Squeal server.
Post squeal.
Oh, wait, who uses the dolphin? Doesn't MySQL uses the dolphin, right?
Yes.
It's the dolphin, right?
Yeah, so I think so.
Like, I can't do a dolphin noise.
If you was here, he'd know because he's just seen a bunch of dolphins.
Yeah, so it could be like my... Oh, does it Postgres who uses the dolphin? What does MySQL use? There's an elephant for PHP. I think they do use a dolphin, like, don't they? I think they use a dolphin. Doesn't Postgres use like an elephant or some shit? I don't know. MySQL. Oh, Postgres. Yeah, Postgres uses an elephant. And MySQL uses a seal. And
Maria uses a seal.
Yeah. So seal, dolphin, and elephant. But PHP also uses an elephant, so fuck Postgres.
What does SQL Server use?
I don't think they have one. I hate searching for SQL Server as well because I never know what to call it. I'm like, I call it MSSQL, like Microsoft SQL Server. But no one who actually uses it calls it MSSQL that I know of. No, they got no.
Because it's really difficult to search for it because you go SQL Server.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, did you want a MySQL Server?
Or a PostgreSQL Server or a NoSQL SQL Server?
Yeah. The SQL Server has a kind of like abstract liney boy.
Yeah.
One day we'll get screen sharing and we'll be able to like show people, but today is not that day.
Yeah, just search for SQL Server.
Do you want to actually search for SQL Server?
No. I'm telling people they can search they can see the abstract logo for SQL Server 2016. That's the logo for SQL Server 2016.
Oh my god.
Or something.
My very first job as a SQL professional, the project manager called it SQL Server.
Oh.
You'd be like, holy shit, have I been saying it wrong the entire time I've been learning?
Well, it's also like, I was at a conference when someone keeps calling it a sim.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about a sim. And I'm going, what's a sim?
Yeah. There was another one she was doing as well. There were
And then it turned out it was a seam.
Yeah.
Americans can't pronounce seam, they pronounce it sim. So I don't know what happened to the E in there.
Yeah. That was very confusing for me as too. And it wasn't the first one. So by the time they get to the second mispronounced word, I was like, it's got to be something obvious. Just got to figure out what it is.
Because also the first time it was used, simulator.
Yeah, sim. It was ambiguous to start with.
It's simulator or the card that provides the crypto and a cell phone. Yes. Subscriber identity module.
You would call that like a mini sim though, wouldn't you, Dave? SIM is the full size card.
Well, it's a full size smart card, yes. And then you have like mini SIMs, micro SIMs, nano SIMs.
Yeah. Lots of SIM boys. NoSQL is a SQL server. You can get SQL modules for NoSQL servers that let you write SQL for your NoSQL server. Yes. It's ridiculous.
And then can you feed NoSQL into the SQL to run on the NoSQL?
Probably, because you can use NoSQL to access SQL databases now. Well, I should say you can use, to access RDBMSs that are traditionally accessed using SQL. Who fucking knows? Anyway, ASUS, right? ASUS got fucking owned hard. So... this was a penetration shown by Kaspersky. Started back in 2015, they said. So back in 2015, they stole all the signing keys for all the software.
Sweet.
Yeah, I know. Handy to have. But
particularly if it's signed by ASUS, everyone will trust it, right?
Exactly. That's not malware. That's signed by ASUS.
Having to go to a dodgy website to install some driver to make your video work.
Yeah.
That's totally the thing people do, right?
It is the thing people do. It gets better, though. 2018 comes around. The same crew completely compromise all of ASUS's update servers.
Sweet.
Yeah, and they have the signing keys. So, if you've got an ASUS... Is this an ASUS? What is this? Is this HP? How can we tell?
No, this isn't ASUS.
Oh, it is ASUS. So, we might have the fucking... The bogus updates. So
I think that one's been plumbed in and skinning it via Windows updates. I think we've removed the actual ASUS software.
The one time it does kind of matter is that ASUS has a feature built into the UEFI nowadays that you can update your UEFI without starting a computer. So as long as you have a CPU in there, you can start. I've used it before. I was like, fucking handy. Because it's real annoying to like boot up your computer, download a thing, put it on a USB drive, reboot, get it to read the USB drive. Oh, it's the wrong format. Nightmare. So there's just an option where...
Oh, and then it's too big. Once you get in the right format... Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. I don't support like a
Yeah, I don't
16 gig, you need to be like 4 gig or less. Yeah, and it's like, yeah. How do I find something that small these days?
It's a nightmare. So you could update in the BIOS, which I've done before. And yes, that also compromised you. So this breach, it's called Shadowhammer, I think is what they called it. This is what Kaspersky named it. So it's, they've done a little bit of, you know, looking at who the APT crew was, because you would presume this is some kind of APT crew. It has similarities to the CC cleaner thing, or the C cleaner one. Do you remember that one a while
ago?
Yeah,
I remember. I can't remember the details. I remember the name.
It was another supply chain attack where they attacked CC cleaner or C cleaner so that people who installed it would check whether they were on this list of like people to compromise, and then would go out to another. It would have a second stage loader. This was similar malware in that once the malicious update was installed, it would do nothing unless you had a MAC address in this list of MAC addresses to target.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of the mind, like, I'm way too white to have been targeted by this malware. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it depends where. I don't know where, because I haven't seen it come out about who's was the actual targets in
yes,
this. They're talking about right. There's only like a... less than 200 actual target devices.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which is scary if you are on that list. Kaspersky said they have... So they've seen people who have been affected by the malware. I don't know if they specifically talked about people who like were on that MAC address. So they saw the malicious updates go down. I don't know if they saw anyone who actually was on that list.
So, they had the virus but didn't actually detonate, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Scary stuff, though.
It's scary, and I'm just not sure who be interested. I don't think we'll ever find out who that 180 or so actually are.
Yeah, to be on a list, because that's some serious resources, and 2015 means long-term planning as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's a bad... This is also another one of those things where I really hate it because... Some people, non-technical people hear, oh, so I shouldn't update my computer. It's like, No.
That's the big problem a lot of people get out of this. That's the update. Update early, update often.
Exactly.
And update your updates.
Yeah, because as Asus has just pushed out a new update fixing the bad update. So you need to update it still, even though it's like, Asus was compromised with their updates. Well, keep updating. Keep doing it. Yeah. I don't know. But that's, if you're a hacker, you have an obligation to keep people updated. Though I guess if you're a nation state, which I presume this is some nation.
Yeah, I'd just be interested to know who. Because it's either someone going after dissidents or it's someone like Israel going after Iran.
Yeah, I mean, they did talk about, if you want to learn
and
more.
Hey, don't like tweet at us with attribution. We're half making this attribution up on the spot.
Oh yeah.
We're not
professional attributors. But Kaspersky did talk. They did categorize the APT crew responsible for it. So you could probably go back and learn a little bit more about who they were targeting through their previous campaigns, because they're pretty much
Looks
like this kind of campaign, so but it seems it's weird, right? Because it seems like high sophistication targeting low sophistication. Other way around, kind of. It's like a highly sophisticated attack, and that to steal the keys and everything back from 2015, right?
Well, and to have funding that you can sit on something like that.
Yeah, if I had those keys, I'd fucking burn them right away.
Yeah, but if they're not in a position to actually burn them and they're working, and then they have to have the targets and they wanted targets. Yeah, so I'm...
If you had Android O-Days leading up to this, well, fuck it, just use the Android O-Days. Those are cheaper, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this one, and it's almost... But obviously they didn't actually own the update servers well enough that if you could initially push down something that would somehow leak the MAC address... During the updates, you could only then push these updates to your actual targets.
Yeah.
If you want to be even stealthier. But
it seemed pretty stealthy. Like, it didn't have... There was another loader part of it somewhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. At the point where you're, like, stealing keys and everything, you're going to get found out sooner or later. So,
Once you're stolen keys, you got one shot.
Yeah. I did see someone was like, someone was like, oh, this is a game-breaking attack that changes the landscape because stealing keys and like pushing out rogue updates is just, it changes everything. And it's like, what? No, not really. Because Flame, do you remember Flame targeting the, was it the Iraqi reactors, nuclear reactors?
Iran's.
Iran's.
Yeah, yeah, the ones
right,
that followed, the ones that either we found out after Stuxnet, but possibly predated or winter at a similar time as Stuxnet.
So that used the MD5 collision bugs in Windows update to push down malicious Windows updates. You know, so we've seen this used over and over again. ME-DOC was also once again compromised the update server. Didn't compromise keys in that case because.
But all these ones do have nation state written all over them because are incredibly target. Well, 180 is target. Thinking about it as we go along, I don't think it's distance because 180 is not enough. If you're targeting distance, that 180 is a too small a number, right?
Yeah, it could just be the hardened people. I don't know. Who knows?
But then you do other ways, right? I mean,
don't put your eggs in one basket.
Burning your keys to sign driver updates.
I wish Risky Business had been on this week so we could find out the attribution from them. Because Metal Storm would just tell us.
Yeah, well, he said it was a skateboarding dog one of the week.
The Cisco one was.
The Cisco one was the skateboarding dog.
This one's
That's
like
right.
legit stuff. Yeah, yeah. I just very quickly go over this last tech one. The Huawei report, an interim Huawei report from the UK. I don't know.
Spokes GCHQ, I think, are involved, but I don't think that's the actual acronym they're using
for
this division.
Name. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They released a report basically being like, don't use Huawei stuff. And this is the same stuff that's been going on for maybe a year now, where they
it's longer than that, I think.
They basically said, like, we're trying to get a reproducible build. So Huawei sends us source code, we compile it, and can confirm that that's the firmware actually running on the devices. It'll have the same firmware.
Checksums, yeah.
Yeah, same checksums, rather, yeah. Huawei haven't managed to do that because it sounds like a lot of their gripes are just like they don't know how to build software. Their software engineering practices are so bad, they literally cannot build a binary with a known checksum. They just cannot do it. And then other than that, they're also like, you know, they said that they're a tiny resource team, you know, few people, and they found critical bugs. And they're like, if we could find critical bugs, given the small amount of time we had looking, it's likely someone else could. So,
yeah. But then what sort of irks me is, you know, the Ciscos and stuff, they get a different level of scrutiny. And, you know, Cisco seems to be dropping out a backdoor every couple of months.
That's true,
Coded creds.
Yep. Like, that's a bus. Easy.
That's a bus sitting in the intersection during a red light.
Damn, it looks like you're totally right with the amount of red light runners we've got.
Yeah, so, I mean, it would be interesting to give the Ciscos, the Junipers, the Alcatels, the Nokias of this world, the same level of scrutiny as the Huawei kit's getting.
I guess the intelligence, Western intelligence communities don't care as much because they probably already have a relationship with Cisco, right?
Well, and most are the backdoors there because the dev found it easier or because someone taps someone on the shoulder, Australian style?
I mean, at the very least, you know, when the NSA found those bugs in Cisco kit, that, you know, the RCE and the late login, they didn't tell Cisco. They didn't tell Cisco at all. But they must have had a channel where they could say to Cisco, like, oh, we found this bug we think you should fix, right? So presumably the reason they get less scrutiny is just because, you know, intelligence communities already have the option of going to them and saying, give us your source code. So
yeah.
I get it. But yeah, you're right. It's like in terms of like technical merit, we're not gauging that at the least, right? There's just, we have no way of gauging
it. It's political. It's not actual. It's not a technical security decision.
Yeah, because as we say, Cisco was also shitty technically. So, I mean, one day everything will just run open source, right? Right.
Yes, yes, and hundreds and thousands of eyes just solve that problem. Just like OpenSSL is absolutely beautiful code, right? I mean, has there ever been a security bug in OpenSSL?
No, literally the perfect code base. I don't think I've ever heard of a bug in it. To be fair, they have slowed down. Around when Heartbleed happened, it seemed like every month there was like, oh, another high severity. It's kind of like, do you remember how the WordPress bug stopped for like, must have been like 4 years or something, the WordPress bug stopped?
In core, yeah.
In core, yeah, there were only modules. And then we saw like a few ramp up. Same with Drupal, right? Quadruple module stopped. And then in the last like 2 years, they're like, oh, we had to invent a new severity level because critical wasn't enough. These new bugs are highly critical. And they're like one shot RCE pre-auth. So
yeah, yeah,
it goes through.
These are 11 out of 10 on the CVSS scale. Or does that go up to 12? No, it goes up to 10. These were like 11s out of 10s or something.
Yeah.
Or if it's out of 12, it's a 13 out of 12.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, I'm kind of done with the tech news.
Yeah, I mean,
is there any good bus news?
There is other bus news, but...
any of it good?
Apparently the Auckland bus is getting a lot of complaints as well. They've got a big backlog in complaints and it's about to bust up. Also, Palmerston, as in Palmerston, not north, down in the South Island, they're talking about doing a new bus network and involving like hubs and spokes, and there's something in the Otago Daily Times about how people are already worried and saying it's not going to work.
I mean, you can make it work. A change to a bus network should be a good thing. It should be, right?
It should be a good thing.
You have a chance to make it better.
But you come and look at Wellington, and I think partially Wellington is the wrong shape.
Wellington's a horrific shape to design a bus network for.
Because I was talking to someone the other day, there's like, if you sort of cut the city sort of east-west, you've got Jervois Quay, you've got Featherston Street, you've got Lambton Quay, you've got the terrace, you've got the motorway, and you've basically got Rah Rah Road.
Mm.
That's the only way to sort of get north, south, east, west, east.
Yeah, yeah.
It's down to that, and basically, you've got the motorway and then you've got Rah Rah Road. All the rest are in the CBD and would be closed if there are buildings falling over. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I like Wellington as a city, but it is not one of those nicely designed cities. It's like we just run out of room and we're like, pack them in tighter. Fuck it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's all Maui's problem. When he should have fished up a different fish.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Bad-shaped fish. Should have got a better one.
Yeah, yeah, bad-shaped fish. Should have thrown it back.
Got the square corners on your fish, man. That's a New Zealand Māori creation myth for those of you who aren't familiar with that kind of thing. Okay, well, I think we're about done for today. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else we want to talk about? Probably not.
No, probably not. I think that's that. I mean...
I think Hugh's back next week. Silvio found some bugs and some Apple stuff. That's the only other thing we had tech news.
Which, Silvio most probably just looked at it with a slanted eye and it just sort of capitulated and popped out, right? I mean, if you ever watch a stranger, he goes, oh, yeah, there's that, there's a buffer overflow.
I mean,
he just... The code just speaks to him.
Here's my problem, though. He finds all these bugs. When's he going to write a fucking exploit? I'm tired of him releasing bugs, not exploits. Oh, there was two. Two. Double. It was a double. We had a north and south. Double. 4, 5, 6. Okay, so you still do win. But.
And unless you want to keep talking until the buses go up.
No, I can't be fucked. Okay, Hugh should be back next week. Thank you for your time, Dave.
Thank you for having me. And yeah, hopefully Hugh's back and doesn't prioritize something else over the bus factor.
He prioritized being on a plane on the bus factor over the bus factor this time. All right, see everyone next week.
See you later.
Libus Vector. Oh yeah.